Draft time. Mic check. We back.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Well, welcome to the Two Men. We're back every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the two-man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you not from my basement in Minneapolis, but from my upstairs in Minneapolis. Got a little new mic set up by popular demand. And dialing in from Chicago, as always, my good friend.
Brian,
it's been about a month since we did our last pod. I know it's the off-season, but even for the off-season, we're really slacking.
Yeah, life's been busy. I got a new job. You got a new kid. Nothing really happened with the Wolves until recently.
Yeah, that's true. I think our comeback is timely, though. So the NBA draft is on right now. It just started about a minute ago. So we will be podcasting during the draft. I'm sure there's going to be some surprise picks and some trades. You know, it's always a little dangerous, Brian, when we don't have much of an agenda, because good chance we look dumb at times, but I think it's going to be fun. I'm glad we're getting a chance to do it.
I mean, dumb is okay as long as we're not boring.
Good point. It's funny, we're both not really big college basketball guys, right?
Right. Yep. You got that right.
Probably not the best duo to be doing a pod about the draft, but I have done a lot of research and I have some hot takes.
Wow. I was going to say, none of these guys covering the draft are big college basketball fans outside of Jay Billis. Like, he's the only one who actually knows stuff. But, like, you know, Jalen Rose or any of these guys, they just watch a bunch of Draft Express videos, like, 2 weeks before. And then they, like, know enough to know more than the average fan watching, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's right. And plus, the instant analysis is, like, a little ridiculous, right? It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe they picked him. It's like, you don't know what a good pick was for, like, 3 years, right?
Yeah, it's like winning trades. It's like if you always try to win the trade, like, it's fine. You look good in the moment, but, like, come on, chill out. Like, we won't know for a long time if Danny Ainge's move down was a good one or not. Like, if Fultz ends up being amazing, he's going to look like an idiot. But in the moment, it's like, yeah, he's probably going to get another, like, top five pick and move down two spots. So hard to tell if it was a good move or not yet.
You could probably analyze that on expected value to some extent, which is an analysis that would take some time, but figure out what's worth more, a number one pick or the number three pick plus the number, say, six pick in a future draft kind of thing. And just look at, like, generally throughout history, which of those would be better.
You can do that on Draft Express.
Oh, can you really?
The point that I've heard, or the best point I've heard against that, it's not even like the best. The only point against that is, like, you can see what that's worth traditionally, but you have to also take into account, like, the overall value of the draft.
That's true.
The Anthony Bennett draft, I don't even know, like, what all-stars have come out of that, if any. I'm sure there's been one or two, and I'm just missing them. I can't remember if that was the honest draft, but...
No, I don't think it was. Actually, I don't think there's, like, any all-stars out of that draft. Like, Oladipo is, like, one of the better players.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? Like, you look back, you're like, yeah, Oladipo might have gone first, but he's, like, kind of a mediocre player and wouldn't even be, like, the third best or, you know, the third best player in a championship team or even, like, a good team. So where was I going with that?
You have to look at the strength of this, like, this has been
hailed for a while as, like, a pretty strong class. So I think when you look at that, it makes it more valuable. So, like, yeah, the expected of a number three, I heard next year's draft is loaded as well. It could be a really good move long term, or it could be dumb if Fultz ends up being awesome.
That's a good point. Also, I suppose you need to factor in the drop off between one and two, or I guess in this case, one and three. You know, in some years, like the Towns draft, I think we pretty clearly thought Towns was the best pick and should be number one, and he was. And the drop off there is pretty steep. Whereas this draft, it's kind of hard to tell. Like, Fultz is the consensus number one, but he's not, like, necessarily an all-world talent, right? I don't think he's a shoe-in as a future all-star.
I think, from everything I've heard, it sounds like he is.
You think so? I don't know if he's on the level of, like, Towns coming out of school.
Yeah, I think everyone knew Towns was going to be good. What was weird with Towns, like, remember how scared we were? We thought Flip was going to pick Okafor for the longest time.
Oh, we were like, terrified for, like,
Okafor. Yeah. And so, like, luckily we got Towns. I think everyone knew Towns is going to be good. Maybe Flippo's the only one who wasn't like no-brainer, generational talent, blah, blah, blah. I think people are giving like having a little bit of hindsight bias with the Towns draft, because it wasn't like a no-brainer like Towns. As far as I remember, maybe I'm wrong, but
no, I think you're right. I mean, I remember after the NBA season was done, you're right, it wasn't a consensus. By the time the draft hit, the vast consensus was Towns. But I do recall, now that you bring it up, watching the draft, it wasn't 100% we were going to pick Towns. I was a little nervous. So would have you done the trade that Philly did with Boston?
If I'm Philly?
Yeah, if you're Philly.
You know, I think so. I think their fan base is pretty excited, which is a good measure of the trade. Here's one thing I think of with like these teams like the Sixers and the Celtics, who just have like so many picks. You can only play a certain number of guys. Like, you need to get there's a lot of value in having a guy who's like 20% better than the next guy versus having like two guys that are, you know, it's like you don't need two sixes. You need the nine.
Totally right.
So that's why I think, like, especially the makeup of their team, like, they have guys who can't shoot. Fultz is supposed to be a great shooter, a great scorer. They don't really have guys that can handle the ball super well. Fultz can handle the ball. Like, he was a really good fit. And, like, the best pick at number three was probably, you know, De'Aaron Fox. And he's another guy who can't shoot but plays hard. They don't really need him. So Fultz had a lot of unique value to them for the way he plays. But, yeah, but they don't need, like, whichever pick they end up giving up, like, they don't need three top 10 picks each year. Like, they can't play, keep, nurture, develop all those guys. So, like, I thought it was a really good deal.
I agree. I thought it was a good deal for Philly. And they've gone from a historically bad team, like the worst team of all time, what, 2 years ago? And now it's not like they're going to be good next year, but they have an exciting young core. They have a lot of hope. 3 years from now, a lot of it depends on the health of a couple of those guys, but they could actually be really good. So
yeah,
I like it.
Even this year, they were super feisty. You know, they played well, they played hard. I think they beat us once. Not like we're only barely better than them.
Yeah, no, we probably were barely better than them actually. But it's interesting with Ben Simmons is going to be healthy now. You know, adding Fultz, so they have like back to back number ones, and obviously they have some other solid players as well. So it's exciting for them. I'm happy for Philly.
I am too.
What have you done the deal if you're Boston?
So the Boston one is weird. So I've listened to a lot of Bill Simmons this week. Have you?
I've listened to all of his podcasts. That's yes.
It's actually been great. He's potted like every day. I would say the last two I've heard are basically like the same pod, just repeated.
Yes, that's true. And it's got me terrified that we're going to pick Markkanen, but we'll get into
that. Oh my God. Better not pick Markkanen. He's like the one player that I'd be the most upset if we picked, like, even if we like drafted someone like a few picks too early, like that OG Abuni guy or whoever he is, at least he's good at defense. Like, Markkanen's the one who would really piss me off.
Yeah, I guess you're talking about the dude from France.
No, he's I think he played for Indiana. He's like a 6'10" basically center, but it's supposed to be like the best defensive player in the lottery.
Oh, okay.
It's like OG Abunwe or something like that.
I thought you were talking about Frank Ntilikina.
Yeah, Frank the Tank.
Yeah, we should not pick him. But anyways, back to Boston, then we'll get into some Wolves talk. By the way, Fultz just went number one. Big surprise.
You're like 5 seconds ahead of me. That's annoying.
You know, Minneapolis just gets stuff first. It's just how it works. I would not have done the deal if I was Boston. I know that they didn't need a point guard, and I think that's a big reason they did the trade, because there's some forwards, you know, in that three range that, you know, they're probably going to pick Tatum. But I just, the skill difference, at least in terms of the analysis I've been reading between Tatum and Fultz, is pretty large. And Boston is not going to beat Golden State next year or the year after. So if I were them, I'd be...
Or even Cleveland.
Yeah, unless Cleveland breaks up after this next year. But yeah, I would be... I probably wouldn't have done the deal if I was Boston. I think they still need to assemble assets. As crazy as that sounds, they're the number one seed in the East, and they have a young team and a good coach. I would still try to go more for a home run than a double.
Yeah, I agree. Same logic of that, like, you can only play one guy instead of two. They are a little thin, so depth wouldn't hurt them. I think the biggest point is they have a second team All-NBA shooting guard who's not terribly old, and the city loves him, so he's going to be there a long time. So they're like, we don't need two of those guys.
Yeah, but, I mean, Isaiah Thomas has had some injury issues. He's pretty slight. I feel like if they're both great, you can find a way to play them together.
I agree, especially the way the league is going. Like, when you watch Portland play and they're like a two-headed monster with Lillard and McCollum, like, it just seems that's where the league will go, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think it was like a terrible deal for Boston, but I was pretty surprised when I saw they pulled the trigger on it. I don't know. I think you go for the home run when you can.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, and maybe, you know, obviously we're like the least informed people on the draft. Like,
but
maybe
we have a podcast.
We have a podcast. Yeah, we have a draft cast. I've heard next year's draft is very good, and I'm sure these guys definitely have a good sense of the year after that, how that one looks already. You know, maybe there's a chance the next two are supposed to be even deeper. I know next year is supposed to be super deep. Maybe they just feel like being in such talented drafts is better than like Markelle Fultz, who's not a LeBron type talent. You know, hopefully he's very good, but maybe they think they can get a great guy. So I don't know. And I do think there's a move yet to come, which is what everyone's been saying. It's just not clear what that is. Like, it seems like everyone with a good player, their asking price is so ridiculously high that they may just get stuck with these guys, or they're going to have to move them right before the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, that's my impression. Before we started potting, I don't know if you heard the report, but apparently Boston made a run at Porzingis. And traded. I mean, the proposal was a lot. I forget exactly what it was, but it was like this year's number three pick. It was like,
probably the Lakers pick.
Yeah, I think the Lakers pick. And then it was like a decent player too. And like
probably Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart or something like that.
Yeah. That's what it was actually. And apparently it wasn't even close to what the Knicks were asking. And that strikes me as a pretty good package.
Cause they probably want the Brooklyn pick next year. So I don't know what, if you're Boston, do you throw in the Brooklyn pick instead of the LA pick? Do you think that's enough to get it done? Or do you think you need all three? Like three, those are probably like three top five picks.
I would not do three picks if I were Boston. I mean, Porzingis,
three top five picks, basically.
Yeah, that's way too much. I mean, Porzingis is really good and has obviously still a lot of potential, but he's not an all-world talent.
Talent he is. Player, he's not.
Good point. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I think Phil Jackson's being a little ridiculous, but it's going to be interesting tonight to see if any trades unfold. So I don't know if you saw the tweet by Woj today, Beam, but apparently the Wolves are aggressively pursuing both Paul George and or Jimmy Butler. Honestly, Paul George makes no sense. I don't think that's realistic at all. But we've been tied to Jimmy Butler for a long time, so I think there's a non-zero chance we're going to end up with Jimmy Butler after tonight.
Yeah, which I feel good about. He's got a great contract. We talked about this a lot last year. I think there's a lot of value in getting a real veteran like Jimmy Butler to work his butt off to get where he is, and I think that'll be contagious. Like I don't think if we somehow acquired Butler and didn't have to give Wiggins, like I think he would just like ride the f out of Wiggins on defense and like be like, hey, this is not okay. Like you need to get better. And I think there's a lot of value in that for our team.
Jimmy Butler is really good. I'm not quite sure what that trade would be. I feel like us giving up the seventh pick in this draft.
Ooh, and hold on. As of 7 minutes ago, is that the tweet you're talking about? As of 7 minutes ago, Mark Stein said the Wolves are close to acquiring Jimmy Butler from Chicago.
No, that's not the tweet. I'm talking about one from Woj this morning where he said we're working to get him or Paul George.
Oh, my God.
So what is this trade going to be? I feel like the number seven plus Zach LaVine is not – I mean, that's a good deal for us. I don't think that's enough for Chicago, right?
I think we're going to have to give him Rubio. Oh, what? Hold on.
What just happened?
Hold on. Not yet, but 5 minutes ago, Mark Stein said, sources say Minnesota's offer for Butler was expected, in all caps, to include the number seven pick, Zach LaVine, and Chris Dunn.
I would do that trade.
I would do that trade all day. Are you kidding? I would love to, like, LaVine and, like,
That's a really good deal for us.
Whoever the number seven with, well, last year we tried to do it just for Levine and the pick that became Dunn. I don't know how Dunn is value. God, Dunn was terrible.
Dunn definitely has value. Not a lot, but he has value.
Okay, David Kaplan, whoever this guy is, apparently he's like a Chicago sports guy, said, I'm hearing Timberwolves are offering seven, Rubio, and Dunn. Bulls want Levine. Not sure who balks. Dude, I would definitely give up
Levine. I mean, throw him in.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely give up Levine. I would want to keep Rubio. It's like no question in my mind, Rubio over Dunn, right?
It's basically a done deal, by the way. Woj tweeted 3 minutes ago, Chicago is finalizing a deal to send Jimmy Butler to Minnesota for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and number seven pick.
Wow. Wow.
That is a nice trade for us.
Wow. Dude, it's happening.
This is a big deal.
What? It's happening live.
How is
for that? For whenever everyone listens to this a day from now.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, my brother just texted me. Thinks it's a done deal.
Oh, here we go. The Bulls have agreed in principle. It's done.
Oh my gosh. We got Jimmy Butler, man.
We got Jimmy Butler. Ooh. Woo.
Woo-wee.
How do you feel about that?
I feel good. It's a good trade. Like, I think we both agree. It's a little bittersweet to see Zach LaVine go. Really exciting offensive player, obviously coming off an injury hurts. But LaVine has a lot of potential. He's the centerpiece of this deal, in my opinion. I think the number seven pick is secondary to LaVine. And then Chris Dunn's a nice throw-in. He has some potential. I've been a Chris Dunn fan, for better or worse. Jimmy Butler's really good, man. And he's on a favorable contract relative to the new CBA.
Ooh. Guess, yeah. We got some cap space, too.
Yeah. I'm surprised Chicago did this deal.
Butler. Okay, so here's the thing. So Butler didn't seem he wasn't complaining about Chicago. He wasn't one of those guys, you know, who was like, oh, I really want to, like, he was like, no, I'm happy in Chicago. It's nice here. Be curious to see how he feels about Minnesota. I think he'll be fine. Man, we just got Jimmy Butler. We just got an all-star.
Yeah, what, he made an all-NBA team, right? Was he like second team?
Let's go find out. I don't think it's been announced for this year yet, was it? Oh, it was, yeah, because we know Paul George didn't make it.
Yeah,
God, the draft is so meaningless now.
I know, so much for our plan to do a live draft podcast.
We did a live trade podcast. Now, do you think we move Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins for LeBron?
Yeah, maybe that's the next move. Oh, man.
Okay, hold on. It's crazy. We have like a proper NBA player now. He's 27. He'll be 28 when the season starts, so he's got like 5 good years. Okay.
How long does his contract go for?
Third team, All-NBA third team this year.
Okay, that's what I thought. He's an All-NBA player. His contract is for, is it 3 more years?
Hold on. I'm looking it up right now. I think it goes through the end of 2019, so that gives us, I think we have 3 more years.
3 more years, yeah.
Including next season.
And what is it, $20 million a
year? No, 16, dude.
Oh, my gosh. It's getting better. This trade's getting
free.
Even
better. We got Jimmy Butler for free.
Unbelievable. Man, if we could somehow package, like, Gorgie to get him off the books.
Oh, I'm sorry. So over the next 3 years, it's $19 million a year.
Okay, $19 million. All right. That's still, I mean, Gorgie's making $16 million a year.
Yeah, f*** that.
So, by the way, I love how they draft Lonzo Ball and they're not interviewing him. They're interviewing his dad.
I hate his dad.
His dad knows exactly what he's doing.
I know. I'm mad at ESPN. I'm not mad at his dad.
Yeah, I'm not mad at his dad at all. Wow, it's officially reported by Mark Stein. It's done.
Damn. I don't know. I feel good. Do you feel good?
I do feel good. It fundamentally changes the Wolves. It changes our future, but in a good way. I mean, we're instantly not awful.
Oh, God, we better win 40 games next year.
I mean, this is a really good trade for us. The more I think about it, like, Zach LaVine's really fun, but he's
an athlete coming off a terrible injury.
Yeah, and he like didn't help a lot. Like, when he was hurt, we weren't that much worse.
No, weren't we better? I thought we were better without him.
Yeah, we were slightly better. Chris Dunn did nothing last year.
Oh, my God.
The number seven pick could turn into something, but, like...
But you know what's funny? I didn't have faith that we would pick the right player. Like, I think number seven is more value in Chicago when they're kind of looking to rebuild now than it did for us where we're, like, looking for a specific piece. Because I don't think Jonathan Isaac was going to make it to us. And he was the only guy that was really interesting to me, right? Was there someone else where you were like, fingers crossed, really hope we pick this dude that would be there?
You know, I was talking myself into Malik Monk. But he's like an undersized combo guard who's a little bit of a chucker. So, I don't know. I'm currently in the process of talking myself out of all the draft picks and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine was total garbage. No, it's
Zach was good, but I don't think his ceiling was much higher, right? Like, his frame, he's not going to add, like, 20 pounds of muscle at any point in his career, and I just think he'll be, like, he'll always be bad at defense.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good deal. Think of it this way. If any of the guys in this draft turn out to be Jimmy Butler, that's pretty successful, even, like, the first pick, right?
Exactly, and I think that's how the Celtics look at it, too. It's like, if Markelle Fultz turned into a second-team All-NBA shooting guard like Isaiah Thomas, they'd be ecstatic.
Completely agree.
Tatum, nice.
Somehow everyone knew that.
Yeah, Jackson was consensus number three, but it just like everyone's like, oh, it doesn't really make sense on this team. But now they have 2 years in a row, two small forwards they pick with the number three pick.
Good point.
Which is interesting. I think Tatum seems like he's a much better at offense than Jaylen Brown. He's definitely the better of the two prospects. But the way the league is going, like, Tatum's long. These two could definitely play three and four together right now. I think it's a good pick for Boston. Like, again, what Simmons is saying is interesting is, like, Tatum, we don't know Tatum's not better than Fultz, you know? Like, he definitely could be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I do like what Boston's doing, though. Just load up on these, like, 6'8 long guys that can, like, play multiple positions. That's it's pretty smart.
Yeah, look what the Warriors did. Outside of Curry, who's still not as tiny as we all think he is, like, Klay Thompson, 6'8". Iguodala, I think, is what, like, 6'7". Durant happens to be 7'1", but then Draymond, 6'9". Like, their team is exactly what we're talking about. Like, they're doing it. Milwaukee's doing it. The Wolves, in theory, should do it, but none of our guys can play defense except Jimmy Butler. So
man,
weird.
Jimmy Butler.
It's such a strange feeling.
It's really strange to, like, instantly have... I'd say we have two All-NBA players now. I think Towns will make All-NBA next year.
I think so. Okay, here's my big concern. Offense. Ball movement. If you ever watch Jimmy Butler play, he just catches the ball...
Yeah, I know.
...backs this guy down and either, like, scores or gets fouled. And, like, that's exactly what Wiggins does. Towns also, like... There is no ball movement whatsoever on our team outside of when we give it to Rubio and he dribbles around and finds someone.
Yeah, if Rubio can still facilitate the offense, that would be helpful. Also, I wouldn't just throw your hands up and be like, ah, we have a bunch of sort of ball hogs. Like, Thibs needs to be able to coach those guys, right? And put in a system and move the ball. That's why he's the highest paid coach in the league, right? I think.
I don't know. If not, he's close to it.
Yeah, he's at least top three, if I recall. He needs to be able to implement a system. I'd be disappointed if it's a lot of iso ball again like last year. What do we do with Rubio now? Keep him?
Yeah, for sure. Are you kidding?
Well, no, I'm not kidding.
We just got rid of all our potential other guards. Like, we need Rubio now more than ever.
You're forgetting about Tyus.
What? No.
That was a joke. Of course we're not going to start Tyus. Oh, man.
I can't tell if Brandi Cole is Jason Tatum's mom. I think so, right?
Yeah, it's definitely. Look at the pictures.
I know. She's aged really well. Man, yeah, the ball sticks. Tibbs has to make an offense. But I think the concern is Tibbs hasn't shown in the past that he can make a great offense. Like, the Bulls are really good on offense back then because Derrick Rose is just freaking awesome and could beat anyone off the dribble. It wasn't they had this, like, great system in place where the ball moved well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Going back to that point, like, I don't think our offense was not the problem last year. So I guess we shouldn't be that concerned. Like, we have so much talent on offense, we'll be able to score. I just think, like, there's not a good system in place. Like, there's plays. He has good plays, like, one-offs. But there's not, like, trust, ball movement. You know, late in the game, it'll just be a lot of like Butler backing dudes down, which I think I like more than Wiggins just like pulling up for mid-range fadeaways. Yeah, that's going to be his big challenge this year, is getting guys to move the ball, and then obviously getting the young guys to play some semblance of defense.
Man, having Jimmy Butler there, just cultural-wise on defense, is, like you mentioned, is going to be really helpful.
I think so.
He's really intense as a player. He's not going to let the dudes just like sit around on defense and do nothing.
He is. He's kind of a jerk to his teammates. I definitely saw clips during Bulls games of him yelling at his teammates when they like miss an assignment and calling them out. Like,
I don't mind that though, especially with this team.
There's a balance. It seemed like he did it in an unproductive way.
Well, whatever the Wolves are doing isn't working. So I actually don't mind like sort of a jerk being in there. And I don't think Jimmy Butler is a jerk. I've listened to some podcasts with him. I think he was on Bill Simmons' podcast last year. And I was really impressed. I mean, he's a smart, thoughtful guy.
He's pretty funny. He has like Bonobos commercials in Chicago making fun of himself. And I like Jimmy Butler.
Are there protests on the street when you look out your window right now in Chicago?
Nah, I don't think anyone cares.
Actually, I kind of want to go to r/Bulls and see what's going on there. Like, I'm really curious what they think of it.
That's a good point. Let's go to some social media.
In the last 19 minutes, I've got 100 new tweets on my feed, and I only follow, like, 100 people. Ooh, ooh.
I got about as many text messages in the last 30 minutes as I did when my son was born.
Wait. Seriously, with the 16th pick back from the Bulls?
What? We got a pick too?
What?
No way. Are you serious? Who's reporting that?
Hold on. There's like comments in my... Oh my god. There's comments in my feed about how like 16 was a nice bonus.
What? We could get like a legitimate pick at 16.
Oh yeah, 16. Dude, you know who should we pick? You know who we should pick?
Who?
Harry Giles.
This has all been heading towards a Harry Giles pick.
Yeah, we got 16. Dude, that's a really good trade for us. They must be super high on LaVine, which isn't crazy.
I don't know. I mean, we were like really happy about the trade before we knew we got the 16th pick.
I know. That's how it goes, man. Like, they just... LaVine's a stud. He averaged 20 points a game. He's like 21. Like, he'll probably top out at like a top 10 score in the NBA now that he can just shoot as much as he wants. That's pretty hard to get.
That's true. Can we sign Paul Millsap?
We can now. But God, that's such a short-term team. Like, we're not going to be good enough to really compete.
We'll make the playoffs.
Oh, no. Now comes all the pro-Levine stuff. God, Minnesotans are so annoying. Kent Youngblood of the Star Tribune says, seeing him around the practice facility this spring, Zach LaVine has remade his body. He's ripped. But the media room is excited.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'm going to miss Zach LaVine, right? He's fun to watch and has potential to be a really great, I think, offensive player. But, you know, you're getting back an all-NBA guy who is great at defense. It's just no-brainer to me. So, more importantly, Brian, this throws a wrinkle in my research, because I did not research anyone in the 16 spot. A lot of guys I don't know. Some mock drafts have Malik Monk or even Markkanen falling that far. Think we got a shot?
What? No one has Malik Monk falling that far.
I don't know. Draft Express has him going 13. It's pretty close.
Oh, man. Oh, we're back at the draft. We're not going to pod until the 16th pick.
Yeah, I know. I can't. You think the Bulls take Malik Monk now?
No. They just got Zach LaVine. I think they take one of the electric point guards. Dennis Smith Jr. is supposed to be a freak. He had like a 48-inch vertical. He plays really hard. Malik Monk would just be such a weird pick. De'Aaron Fox, if he fell to them, would be a great pick.
I don't think Fox is going to fall to them. Like, everyone has him going 5.
Yeah. Hold on. I wasn't paying attention. Who just picked? They picked Jackson?
Yeah, they picked Jackson.
That's a good fit. He'll go 5. Isaac will go 6. It seems like Dennis Smith would be a good pick for them. Monk doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe they want Markkanen. Markkanen's basically just Nikola Mirotic, though.
So let's talk about Markkanen. We both did not want the Wolves to pick him, but
oh my God, we're not picking Markkanen. I'm so happy.
Well, if he falls to 16, I hope we pick him. But he's not awful. I don't know all the hate on him.
He's
like
super good
at
offense.
He was one of the best 3-point shooters in college. He's 7 feet tall, has a high release, sort of like the Dirk fade back motion. So no one can block his shot. I mean, the knocks on him are he doesn't rebound, he doesn't play defense, and he doesn't play near the basket as a 7-footer, which are all problematic. But he has a role in the league. I don't think the odds of him being a star are very high, but certainly a 7-footer who can come off the bench and drain threes, I think is an asset.
Yeah, no, on offense, he could be almost, a one-of-a-kind player, right? Like, he's 7 feet tall, so no matter what, he can always get a shot off, which I think people forget how valuable that is. Like, Dirk could always get a shot off. Kevin Durant can always get a shot off, and it's not an issue. So it leads to them being better shooters. And he can also drive and get to the basket. Like, dude can play. Like, he's a good basketball player on offense. The thing is, like, he rebounds like he's 6'4". He's terrible at defense, and we've seen how that looks.
Good point.
And like Dallas, like Carlisle's a good enough coach to coach around it, and they always had other guys on the team who could fill those needs, so they could hide one guy. But again, it's just a problem for us because we don't have the ability to hide that stuff, right? Like, we can't start four bad defensive players.
This is correct. He'd almost like have to come off the bench for us even right away.
For sure.
Who do you want to see us pick around the 16, looking through the guys who you intimately know?
What's funny, my buddy from Chicago is really pissed.
That makes me feel good.
I know, it makes me feel great.
Yeah, like we won the trade.
God, who else do I know from Chicago that likes sports? I got to text them and see what they think. I don't really like hardcore Bulls fans.
What happened last year again? Why didn't we do this similar trade for Jimmy Butler?
I don't think they wanted it.
Oh, they ended up turning it down?
Yeah, it wasn't enough. Which, to be honest, they got the exact same trade this year, but now they get the
plus
seventh
pick. Right? Yeah.
So if it's the same GM, which I don't think it is, but he's like, oh, man, I got so much more this year. Hold on, I'm texting my Chicago peeps to get some hot takes. All right, so who do I actually want to see this pick?
Let's see. Let's look at the big board. Who do I think will be left? Honestly, I'd be pretty – it's going to sound like a joke. I'd be happy talent-wise with Harry Giles. Like, if we're going to swing for the fences still, he's the guy where you swing for the fences.
Yeah? You want a center? I don't think we should pick a center.
Is Harry Giles even a center? He's just like a tall, athletic guy.
He's 6'11".
He's a forward. He's a four. Actually, you know who needs a four? The Timberwolves.
He's listed as a center on Draft Express, which is like my main source.
The other guy who's interesting, and I said this earlier, but OG Anunoby, he might fall to us at 16, realistically, just because like there's concerns, like a little bit of ACL tear concerns, but very good defender. He's a 3-and-D guy, 7'2" wingspan. He's the kind of guy in, the modern NBA that you'd love to see defending fours and playing up front with a guy like Towns. Because again, we're at the point where we don't need so much offensive firepower. We've got a lot of guys who can score and play. Like, we just need some guys now who can play defense. So he's like the prototypical prospect for that. And I don't know. Maybe now, honestly, let me know what you think, because there's some other prospects out there that are interesting. But like, those are two that I kind of like.
Well, you basically just sold me on OG. By the way, Draft Express has him going 23. So hopefully he is around at 16.
God, he's all over the place. I've seen mock drafts where he's high as 10. Chad Ford said he began the season at 16, got up to 13, tore his ACL, dropped back to 17, then 20, and they moved back up to 13.
By the way, Draft Express is updating their mock draft real time, which I kind of respect. How about DJ Wilson out of Michigan?
Who's that?
He's a sophomore. He's a power forward, 6'10", 7'3" wingspan. He's big, 240. Could score a little bit. Probably Michigan's best player this past year.
God, Chad Fordham is at 28, so I will not be happy.
Yeah, I mean,
Which is Draft Express is weird ones, man. I think you need multiple open.
Yeah, I do have multiple open, but Draft Express is my go-to.
Are they historically very accurate, though? Who's the most accurate?
That's a good question. You'd have to do a regression, but
yeah. What does your regression say?
By the way, Wilson, elite finisher, converts 73% of his field goal attempts around the basket, which is pretty nice. Doesn't get to the free throw line much, though. Also, isn't very physical. Doesn't rebound well. Decent defensively. I don't mind it.
Okay, I don't think we're gonna pick that guy.
He might be able to play a little three.
Well, now that we just lost two of our guards, do you think we need a guard? Like, that might be the most pressing need for depth right now, right? Like, between, God, Butler and Wiggins have to start together, and one of them has to play four, and I think it's got to be Wiggins. But he's just too skinny right now. Like, he'll probably start at two, won't he?
Yeah, Wiggins can't play four.
Just get stronger.
I have a question for you. Let's say it's the number 13 pick and Malik Monk hasn't been picked yet. Do you trade up?
With what?
I don't know. Whatever it takes.
I don't think we have our second rounder, do we?
No, I don't think we do. But I don't know. We could throw in Gorgie.
Yeah, nice try, buddy. That's punishment. That's not incentive anymore.
I don't know. We could find a way to move up three spots. But just a thought. What do you think of Luke Kennard?
People seem to like him. He's a dude who could play. He could shoot.
I don't think he's going to be around at 16, but...
Yeah, the guys at the Ringer really love him. They were really high on him. So based on that, I don't know. I'd be fine with him. Wait, I feel like I'm forgetting. Like, so who's our backcourt next year? So we got Ricky. Wiggins will probably play the two, even though he should play three or four. Tyus. Brandon Rush. Like, that's pretty thin, man. We actually kind of need a guard now, I think.
Yeah, I agree. That's super thin.
Because Dunn at least, like, although he couldn't do anything on offense, he was good at defense. So I think he was a slight plus bench player.
I would assume if we don't draft a guard, we'll have to sign one. Maybe one of those, like, one-year veteran rental combo guard guys.
So it's so weird that we can sign guys now.
I know. We have, like, a legitimate base. Who do you think Orlando picks here? Isaac, probably.
Seems everyone's been saying Isaac for like a month. Like,
yeah, Isaac was the guy I wanted the Wolves to get, by the way. But pretty happy with how it worked out.
Would you rather have Jimmy Butler in the 16 pick or Isaac, Levine, and Dunn?
Well, you know my opinion. Jimmy Butler in the 16. Gosh, that's so sweet we got the 16 pick.
Can't believe we got the 16. Yeah, what a sweet trade for Tibbs. Tibbs won the trade.
Yeah, he definitely won the trade. Instant analysis.
Yeah, they did it.
Yeah, they picked Isaac. I wonder how that went down on the phone call. Like if Thibs is like, yeah, that's a good deal. We're also going to need the you to throw in the 16. And like he like bites his finger. Like, and Chicago's like, ah, okay.
Nope, can't do without 16. Zach is looking really strong around the area.
All right, who else would you want us to pick?
Hold on, I'm trying to read this Bulls Reddit. God, that's really funny. Let's see what all this got. 300 comments on the thread. Oh my God.
People in r/Timberwolves generally like the trade. A lot of nostalgia for Levine, but I get that.
Dunn is trash. Levine is coming off a torn ACL.
And this is the Bulls subreddit?
Yeah. Well, what's funny is the guy writing this, his account name is Doug McDermott. But I don't think it's him.
That is really funny.
We also gave up the 16th pick. Holy f***, wearing my Fire Guard Pack shirt. Yeah, they're pissed. Man, that's crazy. Jimmy's in Paris with Wade.
John Krasinski reported that Jimmy Butler is happy with the trade and loves Thibs.
He better. Guess who's happy with the trade and loves Thibs right now? Everyone in Minnesota.
I know. Good for Thibs. Remember when we were thinking like maybe he wouldn't be able to pull the trigger on something?
Mm-hmm.
Proved us wrong in a big way.
Man, Jimmy Butler. We got Jimmy Butler.
Now what if we sign Paul George?
What? Then we'd be a contender.
We'd have to trade for him though, right?
Yeah.
He still has one more year. You think they got Gorgie?
It's just this year. It's only this season. Yeah, dude, I'd give up Gorgie for anything. Stop doing that.
I just want to trade Gorgie today. It's my whole thing. All right, before we'll probably wrap up soon after pick 7. By the way, with two emails the past month, guys, we still exist. Please send emails, timwolvespodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter at @TWolvesPodcast. Alec complained about the sound quality of my mic. Alec, I've addressed your concern. I Amazon primed now a mic before the pod. Hopefully my sound quality is much better. And Musa emailed us. Thank you, Musa. He leads with, "Hi, Brian and Adam. You promised not to Kevin Love us, the podcast fans. This past season will be a total disappointment, even disaster, if the Wolves don't end up with Isaac or Monk. What do you think in the draft? I think, Musa, you've been surprised. We ended up with Jimmy Butler."
It's really funny that people on the internet just like to have takes, which is kind of what you have to do to get noticed, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a flea scene. Everyone's saying it's a flea scene. One guy's like, everyone's saying it's a flea scene. It's not a flea scene. They just think Levine's really good. He shot 40% from three. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm actually really curious who the Bulls pick here.
They must have someone in mind.
Casey Johnson, who appears to know a lot about the Bulls from being the first one to announce this on Twitter. Wow, I can't believe we got Jimmy Butler. He's saying he thinks they're going to take Markkanen. So I'm kind of fascinated what happens here. Or what if, like, we keep Markkanen and decide we like him so much and cancel the trade somehow? How sad would you be?
That'd be incredible. I'd be really sad.
If it happened to any team, it'd be us.
By the way, the Knicks are going to take the French guard.
Really? Oof, they're going to be pissed.
Woj reported it, so you can lock that in. I'm assuming he probably already has this pick. The Chicago Bulls will select Markkanen. Yeah, it's pretty funny. They traded up to get the guy we really didn't want. That makes the trade even better.
God, their fans are going to be so upset.
Oh, this is great. It just gets better.
Sorry, I'm quoting Patrick. I think Patrick's trolling me. Patrick, our longtime listener. He said, who's going to shoot on this team? Towns. Towns will shoot on this team.
So I think he means three-point shooting.
Yeah, I know exactly what he means.
It's a fair point.
I know. There's not much shooting, like, Butler's not a great three-point shooter. Let's look at his stats. I happen to have them open. So last year from three, he shot 37% on three threes a game, which is actually pretty good.
That's actually a bit better than I expected.
Last year, Andrew Wiggins shot 36% from three, which I think we all know is kind of a fluke. Agreed?
Yeah, I don't think that's sustainable, but maybe.
Yeah, I think he's actually a much worse three-point shooter than that. Well, it's not much worse. I think he's like 30%, 31%.
Really quick, how does Woj get all the picks like 3 minutes before they're announced? It's really impressive.
Oh, my God. Markkanen!
Sorry, what was the question? I got distracted.
Woj, like, knows all the picks 3 minutes in advance.
My theory, he stands in the hallway where the teams walk down, and he just tweets it before they get to Silver. No, I don't actually think that's it. I'm kidding. No. I think they're just so connected. Like, he has someone in every office, and some like junior staffers like, can I tell Woj? Like, once they put it in, they're like, sure, you can tell Woj.
That's pretty incredible. He has that with like every team. He literally reports every single pick before it's announced.
I don't know if I totally get the incentive for the team. Like, maybe Woj gives them inside information as well from other teams.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised the NBA doesn't try to like shut that down. Because didn't ESPN? I thought ESPN was looking to buy his site or bought his site.
I thought they did buy his site.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but obviously the NBA could just tell Woj, like, hey, you can't do this anymore, given that ESPN's broadcasting the draft, and I'm sure there's a relationship.
But if you're watching the draft, you're not going to, like, stop watching because Woj tweets it out 10 seconds early.
Good point.
Thank you. I think that's all it comes down to. And it almost, like, amplifies it. Like, there's two points of excitement. Like, when Woj reports it, I know he's always right, but, like, what if that one time he's wrong? That would be the best, because then you never know.
He was wrong, if I recall, one time last year. Gosh, I forget what it was, but he like quickly edited it. But he has been wrong before, but not for long. He was wrong for like 30 seconds, and then changed it.
So long as Woj has ever been wrong.
Yeah, I know. All right. Before we sign off, who are we picking at 16? Prediction.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of torn. Like, I've heard
not Gonzaga Collins, but the other Collins. I think John Collins. I heard he's pretty good.
John Collins, the sophomore out of Wake Forest.
Yeah, I heard he's pretty good. How would you feel about that?
He had a 36 PER last year, which is pretty good. I'm not even sure how that's possible, to be honest.
I mean, the only thing that's concerning is he's kind of a post player. We don't really need a big man right now, right? Like, I think we just need like guards. I don't. I'm so torn now. Like, we don't need swingmen. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree. We need guards or someone who can play Gorgie's position.
Like, if Tyus is our, I agree. We'll probably sign a vet, but like, yeah, that's the only solution. Like, Tyus can't be our backup point guard. Like, that doesn't work. So I think we need some type of guard or a potential power forward to like solve Gorgie. And we like, honestly, next year we may have to pay a draft pick to ditch Gorgie's salary, but I think I'm fine with that. Like, I hate his contract.
I don't want Collins, by the way. Half of his points last year were from post-ups.
I think that's right. He didn't attempt 1-3 in college.
I mean, that's not how we're going to use him if we picked him. We're not going to be feeding him the ball in the post, so I'm not really sure that's a great fit.
How about Ike Anigbogu, UCLA freshman center with a 7'6" wingspan? I feel like Tibbs might like him. Sounds like a Tibbs guy.
Man, he's really raw. He's 18. He barely played last year.
Sound like such an old man.
Well, I mean, he averaged 4 points a game last year just because he never played. I just don't want someone that raw, I think. I want someone who can play next year. Like, this guy maybe couldn't even play.
That's true. How about Donovan Mitchell from Louisville? Sophomore guard, freak athlete, 6'10 wingspan, which is pretty nuts. Oh, Woj is wrong. No, wait, Woj said that.
Yeah, Woj said that. Yeah, I'd be okay with him. Draft Express has him going 11, though. So I'm not sure he's going to be around. Man, did you say this already? He's 6'3 with a 6'10 wingspan.
Isn't that nuts?
That's insane.
Maybe we get OG, man. I feel good with OG. I still think for like swinging from the fences, Harry Giles, I'm totally cool with that.
I actually don't really want Harry Giles much.
You never wanted Harry Giles. I always wanted Harry Giles. Though, on negatives, he's torn both of his ACLs, and he's 19.
Okay, let's talk about Harry Giles real quick. Torn both of his ACLs. He's 19. He's a huge project. He barely played last year for Duke. Like, you're basically picking him because he's 6'11 and has a 7'3 wingspan and can, like, dribble a little bit.
Interesting.
Sounds
pretty good to me.
I don't want Harry Giles. How about one of the mystery European guys? They're always kind of fun.
You mean the grab bag? It could be a boat.
We got Anjiz Pasingis, international center, 7'2". Get this. Guess what his wingspan is?
6'10".
Unknown. I kind of like that.
That's hilarious. Unknown. What if his wingspan is like 7'10"? We gotta get this guy.
I love it when the international guys, like, I love when they don't know things about him, and I love when their highlight footage is like kind of grainy and like it's really funny. How about Kentucky freshman Bam Adebayo?
Bam? I thought his name was Idris.
That's Bam on Draft Express. He's
It's Idris on ESPN, which sounds like a real name, unlike Bam.
That's pretty.
He looks really strong. Basketball IQ is still emerging.
6'10", played a bit on Kentucky last year.
Motor. He played defense. I like that. We do need another big. Like, Gorgie's should be down to like 20 minutes. Town should be at like 40. And like, Cole Aldrich isn't really good enough to fill those minutes. I really, really want to see Wiggins get more of those minutes. Or even Butler, right? Like, Butler could guard a four, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could guard some fours. Who's Dallas picking, Woj? Dallas is picking Dennis Smith.
That's a good pick. He's like maybe the best athlete in the draft. By the way, are you watching ESPN?
Yeah.
Frank Frank's all-star potential is 14% best in draft. That seems flawed.
Yeah, Frank should rethink his system. What's he talking about? What? Why the hell would the eighth pick in the draft have the highest all-star potential?
And, like, what, you play his career out seven times, he's an all-star once? Is that what that means? And that's the best in the draft? Like, there's not projected to be any all-stars? Like, that's weird.
Frank, he definitely, like, doesn't have some, like, spreadsheet either. He's just pulling numbers out of his ass.
Yeah. This guy's not running regressions in R, like, trying to get to the right answer.
Frank's projection.
And who is this guy?
I don't know who he is. He's definitely not Nate Silver, though. Like,
never. Yes, no. If he's not Nate Silver, I don't give a rat's. Sounds short-sighted, Frank.
Frank, highest all-star potential.
I think his teammates are pissed that he flew over there.
Does Foltz not have the highest all-star potential?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. This guy's projections. This is why it's the first time we've seen this guy. He's like the crazy old man with like the cone hat or like the tinfoil hat.
I like how he picks, like, exact numbers, too, like 14%. Like,
man, part of me was hoping we'd do the trade with Dallas. And, you know, we talked about swapping 7-9 and then Rubio and Matthews. If they would have thrown in Noel, I actually would have really liked that deal.
That would be pretty interesting.
Right? Like, I think we definitely, like, Matthews and Rubio, you could argue, are a slight push. But, again, we wouldn't have, like, needed Matthews that bad. But it would have been nice to get Noel. I'm still pissed we couldn't get Noel. It seems like the price was so low.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. I mean, he could have been gotten for, like, nothing last year. I'm not sure why we couldn't figure out a way to bring him here last year.
I think teams are scared because we can't really trade a first-round pick right now because the next protected pick we have goes to Atlanta. That could be, like, 2 years. It could be, you know, 3 years. True. We don't know.
Gosh, Woj is right every time.
Every time, Woj. Every time.
Yeah, I got to sign off very shortly.
Smith. All right, let's. Any other fan mail? Should we call it? Oh, hold on. We have two tweets.
One tweet. You guys still putting out the pod? To which I responded to Patrick, yes. Joe K responded an hour later. You guys going to do a draft reaction pod? Joe K, yes. And that's really
it. All right. Well, we're giving the people what they want. Putting out this pod. We won't have a reaction to the 16th pick because we don't know who it's going to be yet, but fun pod, Brian. A little wrench in the plans, but in a good way.
Yeah, I'm pretty jacked, man. Definitely didn't see that coming, even though, like, it, you know, it was reported so much, but we just, like, it just never comes through for the Wolves. Like, it actually happened.
It feels good. Jimmy Butler, welcome to Minnesota. You are welcome on the pod anytime.
Real quick to end the pod too. Devin Booker had a tweet where he mentioned, like, it's not where you're drafted, but what you make of it. So everyone work hard and good luck. And then Carl Anthony Towns responded, I was cool with being the number one pick.
That's awesome.
So savage. I love it.
Towns.
All right. I'm good. We
All
can
right.
sign off
well,
now.
Thanks everyone for listening. Including the international listeners. It was fun. We are back. We're not going away. And on the next pod, we'll break down whoever we end up picking at 16. Thanks, everyone. Keep the emails coming, timberwolvespodcast@gmail.com, or tweet at us @TWolvesPodcast. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.